Let's talk about mashup. So for this assignment, we want to use a bit of Python and a bit of JavaScript to combine an API from Google News and an API from Google Maps and make a nice interactive website. So let's get started. First thing we want to do is we want to import all of the data into our database, but we have to create a database table. So our table happens to look a bit like this. Notice that all of the first columns, the country code, postal code, place name, and all the admin names are text types. So one thing you might be confused about is why we chose to make the postal code a text type. Now, you might have chosen an integer, but keep in mind that a zip code like 02138, if you store that as an integer, you might actually be storing that as 1238 because of the leading zero. So we choose to use a text field so that that leading zero isn't dropped when you store it inside of the field. The last few columns, latitude and longitude, are stored as reals, since those are going to look a bit like 172.345, so like a decimal number. Those are real numbers. And then the accuracy is just an integer. So that's it for our table, and you should be able to import into that table perfectly fine. After importing into the table, we want to start looking at actual Python code. So the first thing in Python that we need to touch is articles. Taking a look at articles, we see that it's not a lot of code. So when we look at this GET request, the first thing we want to make sure is that they actually included a valid geo argument in the GET request. So let's just make sure that's in there, and if not, raise an error. Otherwise, just one line of code. We've already given you the lookup function, so you just need to use lookup to lookup given that geocode. And this right here, we just happen to be returning the first 5 results instead of all of the results. Now, remember that the JSONify function is how we take a Python list or dictionary and transform it into valid JSON. So that's it for articles. Next up is search. So taking a look at search, it's right down here. So notice that this also isn't that much code. We, similar to articles, we just need to first make sure that the argument to search, Q, is actually there. If it's not there, we want to return an error. Assuming that it is there, notice that we're appending this percent symbol. As mentioned in the PSET spec, this percent symbol is the wild card in SQL. So we end up performing this query, select star from places where postal code like colon Q or place name like colon Q, limit 10, this colon Q will end up being replaced with whatever Q was included in the GET request, followed by a percent symbol. That means that if you happen to enter 021, then that's going to become 021 percent symbol. And when that performs a lookup, it'll match 02138. So you don't have to type out the entire zip code. It will automatically match everything that it begins with 021. So here, we're selecting everything where the postal code or the place name happens to look like colon Q. So if Q happens to look like Cambridge, it'll also look up anything that happens to have a place name of Cambridge. Okay, so that ends up returning all rows that match that postal code or place name. And once again, we just want to JSONify that and return. Next up, we have scripts. So now moving from Python to JavaScript, the first thing in scripts we want to do, we mentioned that we happen to be focused on Stanford, California. Well, you can change that right here by just changing the latitude and longitude to wherever you want, your home address or Harvard's address or Yale's address. Here, we'll leave it as Stanford. Next up is configure. For this, we mentioned that you actually need to print out things like the place name or maybe the postal code or something like that. So taking a look at how we implement configure, right here is what you need to fill in. So notice that this is very similar to what's mentioned in the PSET spec. We just happen to have a bit more formatting around it. So we have ultimately everything is encapsulated inside of a div. Then we print the place name followed by a comma. Then if there happens to be an admin name one, then let's print that. If there isn't one, then that just won't be printed. And then finally followed by the postal code. So that's very similar except for the addition of this if, just in case there doesn't happen to be an admin name. Otherwise, this exactly matches what the PSET spec tells you to use. Next up, add marker. So this is the bulk of the assignment. Taking a look at add marker, we see This is where you're going to have to take a long look at the Google documentation. How do you actually add things to the Google map? So here we see we have a new google.maps.marker function. This basically instantiates, similar to Python, a new marker. And the arguments to this function, first we're passing this icon argument, where this specifies the label origin. That's basically relative to the position of this marker. Where do we want to include the icon? And similarly, a URL for that icon. So in this case, we'll just have one of those little red icons. The next argument is the actual label. So here, we're going to have the label be the place name followed by the admin name. And then we want the actual position of that marker. So here, the position is going to be the latitude and longitude of that place. And then finally, the map that we actually want to add this marker to. Okay, so next up, now this will actually add the marker to the map, but we want to be able to interact with that marker so that when you click on it, articles pop up. So how do we do that? Well, google.maps.event.addListener. So we want to add a listener on the marker. What kind of listener do we want to add? A click listener. So when we click on this marker, what do we want to happen? We want this whole function to be executed. So what does this function do? First thing, we call showInfoMarker with no second argument. So remember from the PSET spec that what this does is it shows basically just a pop-up bubble with a spinning GIF that indicates that a query is currently happening, but it's not complete yet. So it's just a loading icon. So we're loading, and then we perform this getJSON call. So you can find an example of this above in other functions that we've already written for you. But this getJSON call is ultimately going to request the articles route from the Python application that you already edited. So the articles that you implemented, it's going to request data from that. The data that ends up getting returned is returned right here. So the argument that we're passing to articles, that geo argument you have to deal with earlier, is right here. We happen to be passing the postal code. Okay, so when that returns, when we make the request, eventually that request will return. When it returns, we execute this function. Now, if there was no data, if articles couldn't find any articles relative to this postal code, then we're just going to show slow news day. We're going to update the marker that's currently the little loading icon. We're going to update it to slow news day. Else, there are some articles, so we're actually going to build a nice little box that displays all of those articles. So we have to format that as HTML. We're going to start it as an unordered list, so it's just going to have bullet points listing all of the articles. Then we're going to create a template specifically for each line. So the template is going to be a list item followed by a link. The link is the link of that article. Target equals underscore blank. That just means that when we click on the link, it'll open up in a new window rather than redirect in this page. Then the link is going to have the title. And then we close the link and we close the list item. So that's it for the template. Now we iterate over all of the articles that article returned. And for each article that article returned, we use our template. And the link we want our template to use is taken from our data, from our articles. And similarly, the title that we want our template to use is taken from our articles, what articles returned. So this gets appended to our HTML, the beginning of our unordered list. So we have an unordered list. Then we have a whole bunch of list items from this loop. And then finally, we close our unordered list. So now we have a full unordered list of all of our articles nicely formatted as links. What do we want to do? We want to call showInfo again. We want to update that current spinning GIF. We want to change that to now contain all of the articles. Okay, so that's if everything goes nicely. What if something goes wrong? Well, here, this is a fail function in case the AJAX call happens to fail. So we made a request to articles. What if you happen to lose an internet connection? What if the web page that's supposed to respond to this AJAX request goes down? Anything could go wrong. And so in this case, we're going to fail, in which case we're just going to console.log. So something's going to end up in our JavaScript console indicating some sort of error. Okay, so after all that, we also want to make sure that we add to this global variable markers the marker that we just added to our map. And so why do we want to do that? Well, that's relevant to the next part of the problem set. We ultimately want to be able to remove markers. So we've just added a marker to the map. If we return from this function, then we no longer have a way of accessing that marker. So in remove markers, by adding the marker we just added to the map to this marker's global array, we can now access the marker we just added and all markers we've ever added. So let's take a look at remove markers. So a short function, we iterate over all of the markers that we've added to the map. So remember that we've stored all of them inside of this markers array. So markers.length is the length of this array. This just iterates over all of the markers in the array. And then .setMapNull, that's how we remove a marker from the map. So for each marker that we've added to the map, set the map to null. And then finally, markers.length equals 0, we'll just reset that global markers array back to being empty so that if we ever call add markers again, we start from a fresh new markers array. And that's it. My name is Rob Bowden, and this was Mashup.